Chapter 14. Even though we'd slain the Scutawar, the holy terror of the Chero Island, and public enemy number one, we didn't have time to celebrate. The second the threat was out of the way, we all went to attend to our wounded. Mira, Ashanti, and Lazan were all just beginning to stir when we came up to them, as was their aunt.
What happened?
Mira grumbled as she tried to stand.
The last thing I remember was getting punched,
Lazan answered.
Then the world just kind of went black. Are we even alive?
Ashanti rubbed her eyes.
Or did we all die and go to the underworld? You're still very much alive, my friend.
Rikuri smiled at her Chero sister.
I'm just happy you're in one piece. Not many people can take a direct hit from the Scutawar and live to tell the tale. The Scutawar!
Ashanti gasped as she pulled out her bow and arrow.
Where's the sorry excuse for Tempori's creation anyways? It's dead,
Batari announced.
Praise Tembori. Draco Rex has killed the Scutawar.
I mean, Tyrion made the final blow, but it was my idea in the first place.
It doesn't matter!
Rikuri laughed as she threw her arms up into the air.
We're free, Queen Mother. After season cycle of living in fear, the terror has been scourged from this land, and we may prosper once again. A great celebration is in order when we return to the village.
Batari chuckled.
After we help Draco Rex and his crew with their task, of course.
And after we've tended to the wounded, I reminded her, as I turned to my other women. Are you three okay?
I'm fine, Ben.
Mira reassured me as she thumped her golden scales.
It takes a lot more than a slight tumble to injure a dragonkin. I think I'm okay, too.
Lazan noted as she patted her belly.
I've got a bunch of bruises all over my body, and I feel like I just got run over by a water dragon, but otherwise I'm wonderful. I'll have to thank Isla for this armor. It did a great job protecting me and my precious cargo. Sounds like a typical day in the life of Lazan.
Nadir teased.
Same here.
Ashanti agreed with a nod.
I feel beat up and bruised, but I should be fine. As for my Mirak, he's been through much worse.
That just left George, then. I walked away from the rest of my crew and headed back over to where George had fallen. Honora and Kandara were both standing around him as they bent down and tended to his wound.
Oh, thank goodness you're here now.
Honora sighed when she saw me.
We can't really understand what he's saying or feeling right now.
These crazy women went to rip the spine out of my foot. That's going to hurt like nothing else.
He's worried about how much it'll hurt when you pull that out. He thinks it will hurt like nothing else.
Oh, it will,
Honora confirmed.
But we can't leave it in. The longer it dwells within his flesh, the higher the risk of infection. If it were to get too infected, we'd have to amputate the entire foot.
On second thought, perhaps it won't be so bad.
The blue water dragon gulped.
Take it out, but could you have them do me one favor, please?
Sure thing, George, I promised.
Can you have them sing me their song about the ocean waves while they do it? It always makes me feel so calm.
He's ready for you to pull it out, but only if you sing him the song about the ocean waves while you do it. Honora seemed puzzled at my request at first, but then she just looked at Kandara and shrugged.
Sure thing,
the yellow-eyed dragonkin agreed.
Kandara, will you hold the foot for me?
Kandara brushed her golden hair out of her eyes before she reached down and grasped George's foot on both sides. Then Honora began to sing softly in her native tongue. Her voice was that of an angel's, and I was hypnotized by the beautiful lullaby. George must have been enthralled with the song as well, because he closed his eyes, raised his snout upward, and smiled as he took it all in. But that didn't last long. Honora placed her hands around the end of the Scutawar spine, gave it a hard yank, and pulled it free with a small spray of blood. George's eyes opened wide, and the water dragon let out a deep, frustrated growl, almost as if he was trying to hold back a real scream.
Sorry, George.
Honora tried to calm him down with a few pats on the neck.
It was for your own good.
Tell her thank you for the song,
George said through gritted teeth.
This would have gone much worse had it not been for the song.
He says thank you for the song. Honora patted the dragon a few more times before she returned to dressing the wound. I watched as the water dragonkin healer rubbed a mixture of herbs on the bloody injury, and then she and Kandara got to work wrapping it up with a fabric bandage. When all was said and done, George had a huge strip of tan fabric wrapped around his foot and halfway up his leg.
There you go. It's still going to take a few days to fully heal, but you should at least be able to walk.
George gave the two women a gracious bow, and then the four of us returned to the rest of the crew.
We were just telling the group that if we leave now, we can reach the hilly plains in only a few myrstrads. Even with your dragon's injury, shouldn't take us long to get there.
I still don't know what a myrstrad is in regards to a unit of measurement, but that sounds like a plan to me. Let's get over there and incubate this damn egg. With that, we set off. We all followed the Chera women as they climbed atop their ants, and soon we came to the spot they called the Hilly Plains.
Well, I can see why you guys gave it that name.
Mira joked as she looked all around.
There's literally nothing here but hills.
And valleys.
Rikuri laughed.
There are lots of valleys as well.
We'll need to take the egg to the top of one of these hills. That's where the conditions will be ideal for incubation.
You are the lady.
Jonas grinned.
Let's get up there and hatch our prized possession.
I knew Jonas was excited to study a new type of dragon, but I'd never seen him so giddy. He was like a little boy on Christmas morning, just waiting for his parents to let him open his presents. We slowly ascended the small hill and reached the top in a matter of no time. But when we got there, our job became 10 times easier.
Ben, look!
Nima jumped up and down and pointed. There, at the very center of the hilltop, was a large space covered with branches and leaves. The wood had been arranged into a circle and built up a few feet above the ground, and on the inside, the structure was packed to the brim with leaves to create a makeshift mattress, like a layer of comfort and insulation for the creatures that would dwell within. It was a nest.
Oh, a wind dragon nest! I never thought I'd see one of these in the flesh!
You know what to do, Ben.
Batari placed her hand on my shoulder and nodded to the structure. Kendara fumbled inside her satchel, produced the crystal egg from inside, and then handed it to me. I could see the shadow of something moving around inside the egg, almost as if the creature inside knew he was close to his home. So I walked over to the nest, stepped over to the side, and approached the middle. I then laid it down into the dead center, covered it with one of the leaves, and climbed back out of the nest. There. I said as I clapped my hands together. Now, I guess we just wait.
How long does it normally take for a wind dragon egg to hatch?
Kendara asked the Chero women.
I thought you said we shouldn't be out here during the night.
That egg's far along. Given the circumstances, I can almost assure you we won't be out here come nightfall.
I hope she was right. This island was full of dangerous creatures who tended to come out at night, and I, for one, was tired of battling deadly creatures for the day. As my crew and I sat around and waited, we noticed the ecosystem of the wetlands come back seemingly in real time. We saw the vulture-like birds circle over the scutawar's body, and then they fluttered down and began to peck at its corpse. Not long after, a herd of the striped animals we'd hunted earlier came across the hill. They made a beeline straight to the watering hole, and more animals came soon after. It wasn't long before we were witnessing a scene straight out of the Jungle Book.
I can't believe this.
Batari sniffled and wiped away a tear.
I never thought these lands would ever go back to the way they were. I thought the scutawar was a punishment from Tembori and that we were doomed to suffer for the rest of our lives.
If there's one thing I've learned in life, Batari, it's that we're never doomed to do anything. We make our own paths in life, whether we intend to or not. I wrapped my arm around Batari and pulled her into a deep embrace. And we held each other tightly as we stared out at the life returning to the wetlands. It was only an hour or two later when we heard the sound we wanted to hear. As we sat there admiring the scenery, there was a sound like shattering glass. I looked at Batari, who just smiled widely and nodded, and then we all quickly sprang to our feet and rushed over to the nest at the center of the hilltop. There, in the middle of the nest, sat a thin, red creature. It was about the size of a large snake, perhaps a boa constrictor or a king cobra, but it was much smaller than I anticipated. The creature waddled around on its stubby yellow feet, and its noodle-like whiskers twitched with curiosity as it smelled the air. A baby wind dragon. We were now the proud parents of a baby wind dragon. When the dragon saw us staring, it froze in place. It must have realized we were not a threat, though, because it quickly scuttled over, climbed across the threshold of the nest, and hopped up onto Batari's shoulder. The Chero woman opened her mouth to protest, but I quickly shook my head to calm her down. "Hey, don't scare it," I whispered. We watched as the wind dragon sniffed at Batari's horn a couple of times, before it licked her with its forked tongue. Then the little guy curled up around Batari's neck like a scarf, placed its head against her shoulder, and let out a long sigh as it closed its eyes.
I think it likes you,
Ashanti giggled.
Yes. Yes, it does,
Batari mused. I walked over to the beautiful Chera woman and placed my hand against the small of her back. We looked out over the savannah, and I thought of all the new possibilities that laid ahead. Now, I had a small army of rhino women at my side, including one who would soon bear me a child. Not to mention we now had a frickin' wind dragon on our side. Based on my previous experiences, I could only assume Batari was pregnant with my half-chero, half-dragonkin child. If I played my cards correctly, perhaps all the other women in the village would be pregnant within the week. But for now, I just wanted to focus on the beauty before me. It was only a matter of time before we wiped the orcs off the face of this world. Soon, we would end the reign of the orcs, and the reign of the Draco Rex would begin. End of Book 9.